thank you everyone for joining the next to last meeting of this 2020-2021 Senate. And we will officially get the meeting underway. What I've been doing is I keep dropping in the minutes to the Senate. I'm sorry, the link to the Senate materials if you want to follow along that way. Sometimes it's really hard to see the screen. So if you go into the chat, I've been dropping in the link to the minutes. And with that being the case, I would like to ask for an approval of the agenda for the meeting dated April 8th.
So moved.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Abstain. Thank you. I'd like to also call for an approval of the academic Senate meeting minutes dated March 11th, 2021.
I do have one question.
Yes, please, Alan.
About the minutes, and it is on page 5 and 4 of it's the undergraduate curriculum committee report of earth and environmental science course changes.
Okay, I can share my screen. Let me share my screen to bring that up.
Item 1 on top of page 5.
Okay.
Okay, I note that we no longer are showing in the minutes what the original wording was. We're just showing what the new wording is. But there is, if this reads School of Earth and Environmental Sciences to read NSI 200, and I believe that is correct. And then underneath that it says 2, and what is listed here is the second item. I think that's misleading. At the very least, for parallelism, it should say, excuse me, to read Geology 318, Soils in the Environment, in capital, in boldface. Otherwise, it appears at first as if the first item, NSI 200, is being changed to the other.
Point taken. We will have to push this back to the UCC.
I think that's just an editorial change. I don't know that it requires another vote.
It's an editorial change.
Okay, just bolding Geology 318.
And putting the to read after it.
Okay, so noted.
Thank you.
Motion to approve with the requested amendment, editorial amendment.
So moved.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Abstain. Thank you. Any announcements? I would like to make one quick announcement. If for those of you who are interested, there is the student election. So there's two announcements. The first, elections will open for student and faculty beginning 12:01 a.m. on Sunday, April 11th through next Saturday, April 17th. The link will be shared with you shortly. And the second is the student elections. They're having a debate. They had a vice president debate yesterday that was intriguing. And tonight at 5 p.m., there will be a presidential debate of the students. I will find the link and put it in the chat box for you. So for those of you who want to just sort of sit in the background and watch, thank you, Sid, I appreciate you. So Sid just dropped the link into the chat box. That's happening at 5 o'clock today for the presidential debate for the Student Association president. So those are my two announcements. Any other announcement?
I do have an announcement, actually an introduction. I would like to introduce Rahel Fester, who is the Interim Dean of Institutional Effectiveness and joined Queens College on, I think it was March 22nd, replacing Cheryl Littman, who went to CUNY as their Chief Data Strategist. Rahel joins us from Baruch College, where she oversaw institutional effectiveness accreditation and assessment. She'll be playing a key role in our new strategic plan and a variety of other important issues. So please welcome Rahel Fester.
Welcome. Betsy, can you forward her the contact information so that we can make sure she's added to the listserv?
I will do. And she also found it on your website and is here. Okay. Or planning to attend today.
Too many people. Well, right. So we'll get her officially added. Right.
So yes, but I will make sure you get her contact information.
Perfect. Thank you. Any other announcements?
I have an announcement also.
Yes, please, Jeffrey.
On behalf of the Department of Drama, Theater, and Dance, we are doing two streaming productions coming up next month. I'm looking for the link to the first one to access the stream. I'll post it in the chat once I find it. We're doing a play called 365 Plays, 365 Days. This will be performed by our students, directed by a guest artist director, Bruce Lemon. And then we are going to be doing our annual student choreographed dance show that we're going to stream, and we're going to attempt to stream some of that live from the Goldstein Theater. So watch for, I don't have the info on how to get tickets to that yet. That's all still being worked out, but watch your emails for that.
Thank you. Any further announcements?
Yeah, hi Simone, I just wanted to add to your announcement about the debate. Anybody who can't make it to the 5 p.m. debate or missed the one yesterday, the Knight News is actively covering it, and I'll post a link to our main website, and you can just read the summary of what happened.
Or watch the video, because
that too.
Right, we're making the video available throughout election week so students can vote informed. Okay, thank you. Thank you, Sid. Okay, any further announcements?
I'd like to announce our virtual conference that is taking place. It started Monday and it's going through the 21st. It's one session a day at 2 p.m. It's on Borderlands, dealing obviously with the Italian diaspora. And it's from last year that weren't able to do. And so we converted it into a Borderlands. So it's 2 p.m. every day. You can go to thecalanderinstitute.org. And you'll see the calendar. There's a link where you can click and you can sign on and see what we're talking about. For those of you in history, our keynote is distinguished Professor Donna Gabaccia, who just retired from the University of Toronto. And she has written on Italian and Italian American, mostly Italian American and American history. And one of her many publications is Italy's Many Diasporas. So she'll be speaking the 31st. I mean the 21st.
Thank you. Okay, final call for announcements. Okay, thank you. Seeing none, we'll go to item 4, special motions. I will share my screen. James, would you like to read this resolution?
Am I the James you want, Simone?
No, I'm sorry, James Lowry. I'm sorry.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay.
It's okay. I think I saw him in here. Let's see
if he's. Sorry. Here. Do I read the whole thing or just the final clause?
It's short enough that you can read the entire thing.
All right. Thank you. A resolution supporting the creation of a campus-wide land acknowledgement statement. Whereas the Queen's College Academic Senate recognises that all members of the Queen's College community deserve to live and work in a respectful environment without facing intolerance, bigotry, or bias. And whereas the university has a responsibility to recognise and protect the rights of all members of its community. And whereas we adhere strictly to the university's calls for diversity, inclusion, and equity. And whereas we recognise that Indigenous peoples have a strong and enduring relationship to the land that they and their ancestors reside on. And whereas we call on Queen's College to follow the lead of other higher education institutions in the United States, such as California State University and Illinois State University, and make clear Queen's College commitment to diversity and inclusion of all peoples, be it resolved, the Senate will work to support the adoption of a land acknowledgement by Queen's College for use on official occasions.
So I'm gonna stop sharing. And I'd like a motion to accept the resolution.
Motion to accept with unanimous consent.
Motion to accept with unanimous consent. All in favor?
Ask if there are any objections.
Aye.
I'm sorry.
Aye.
Any objections? That's what it is. I just want to just take a quick peek at the chat. Okay. Seeing none, approved. Thank you, Dr. Lowry.
Thank you. Simone, could I just thank you as well for stewarding that through this process, and also thank the Executive Committee and President Wu for their support in this work. Thanks.
No, you're quite welcome. Thank you. I look forward to probably working on this. You see, I strategically used the word probably, so not be committed, but I would be happy to. Thank you. Okay, moving forward, committee reports. 5A, the UCC, dated March 11th.
Yes, I'd like to move the Undergraduate Curriculum Committee minutes of March 11th and ask for unanimous consent.
Any opposed? Seeing none, so moved.
Approved.
Unless I'm too fast.
Approved.
Thank you. The 5B, Graduate Curriculum Committee minutes dated March 10th, 2021.
I would like to move for the unanimous consent of the meeting minutes dated March 10th.
Any opposed? Thank you, approved. And finally, the nominating committee report dated April 2021.
Hi. I would like to ask for the unanimous approval of the nominee on the report.
Any opposed? Okay, seeing none, approved. Thank you. Old business, nominations to the nominating committee. It's faculty in the social sciences division. Any nominations? Okay, seeing none, new business. The 2021-2022 calendar of the Senate and Executive Committee meetings. I'd like a motion to accept.
Move approval with unanimous consent.
Any opposition? Thank you, seeing none, approved. And now we get into one of my favorite parts of our meetings. Thank you again, President Wu. And let's go back. I sort of messed up my agenda. I don't want to mess up their names. One moment. We're at the part where we're going to be doing presentations, and you will do self-introductions. And the first person is, I'm not sure if it's Anthony. Who's going first? I've given both of you.
Doesn't matter to me.
I think Anthony was, yeah.
So, okay, Anthony, the floor is all yours. All right. You have sharing capabilities.
I do. Great. Okay. Let me open this up and let's see. This is it.
And Anthony, if you'd like to introduce yourself, that would be please. Okay. You're going to do your own bio.
So can you all see my screen? Yeah, you can all see the chart, correct?
Yes.
Okay. So my name's Anthony Tamburi. As you see, I'm the Dean of the John D. Calandra Italian American Institute. I've been here as Dean and at CUNY for over 14 years. And I I was asked today to do a little bit of a presentation on Italian Americans at Queens. And I thought we could look at all levels here, Queens, New York City, New York State, and the USA. Just so you know, my own field by training is Italian language and literature and culture. I also engage in Italian American studies, and my sort of intellectual methodological background is in semiotics and hermeneutics. So it gives us a wonderful ability to engage in all sorts of interpretive divertissement that the French would say. So what I wanted to basically do.
We can't see the presentation.
You can't?
No, it was
gone now.
Because someone is also sharing.
The only other person that has sharing rights is Nicholas.
Okay, Nicholas, did you turn on your sharing?
No.
Yes, he did.
I think you need to turn off your sharing.
Right, Nicholas, you overrode his. Okay, so now you can try it again.
Do I have to share again?
Yes, please.
Okay. Share screen, Adobe. Okay, share. How about now?
Yeah.
Good? Okay, good. I see Barbara put a thumb up. So I wanted to just go, and then, you know, the other thing is the John D. Calandra Italian American Institute is named after the late senator who in the 70s and 80s was, we can say, a power broker in Albany, the state Senate. And some of you know, in 1976, Italian Americans were designated a protected class within CUNY by then Chancellor Kibbe. That designation has continued. And in 1978, Calandra and some of his colleagues put together a study on, and it's entitled, they then released a report in 78, discrimination. I can't remember exactly the exact title, but something about anti-discrimination, Italian anti-discrimination at CUNY, in CUNY, and there was an 80-page report. And then a year later, the Institute was founded as the Italian American Institute to Foster Higher Education. And it was first housed actually at Queens College on Cassina Boulevard, and then eventually it moved to CUNY Central and so on and so forth. And now we're back at Queens College. So here we are with some figures you can see that go from Queens, local Queens, to the USA. And I think that this is not so different from some other 3 to 4 generation ethnic groups where you see a movement from inner city to the suburbs. And what's curious here is that in 1990, the population of Queens was 13% Italian, which is quite high. When you consider that in New York State, it was 15%. You see in New York City overall, it was 11%. And within the United States, it was 5.9%. These are interesting figures. And that 5.9%, that 14 million is interesting because you'll see that they go up, that figure goes up. One of the curious things here is that more people began, I think, to self-identify as hyphenated, as Italian Americans, as we moved from the 90s on. I would say that from 1990 to 2010, we really didn't have 3 million more new, quote unquote, Italian Americans. I think really it's a question of self-identity, as that notion of self-identity became, for lack of a better term, more popular among Americans in general. So we see there, what is interesting, curious, is that there is a drop, right, from 1990 to 2000. It's quite significant, 13% to 8%, yet at the state level, it's 15% to 14%. So something's going on here. And I think what we can attribute this to, what we believe we can attribute this to, is movement outside of, quote unquote, the city, that is outside of the five boroughs, and whether they were either moving a little bit north of New York City or Long Island. Long Island has a large Italian American population. And I think that the idea that Italian Americans didn't so much leave the state as they did leave the city, leave Queens or leave New York City. And we see that because the state, we have a drop of about 3% from 1990 to 2019, but we have a much more significant drop within the city. So I think if we look outside and we look to Long Island especially, we'll see that there is still a large Italian American population. Why people would move outside the state, I think we believe is also due to demographics, age. Older Italian Americans may have moved down to Florida, they may have moved to North Carolina, or they may have moved to Arizona. And we noticed that if we look at when we can distinguish Italian Americans in those states, we notice that there is a rise in population there as there is a decrease in population here in New York State. So we're still 12% within the state legislature. I think we're 42 or 43 members of the entire 200 and whatever 20 members of the assembly and the Senate. And there is a New York Conference of Italian American State Legislators. There's an organization, they have an annual event. They used to have it in June, they're now having it in May. And it used to be in person the last 2 years, it obviously couldn't be. And every year we've gone up to participate in that event. And then the following evening, there would be a big party in Troy. There's a big, large Italian American community center in Troy, New York that they would use. So we at the Calandra Institute are in contact with them. We are funded by the state. We have been up until about 3-4 years ago, an actual line item in the state budget. It was folded into Queens, but it's still a discrete amount of money that's allotted just for the Calandra Institute. So one of the things that has changed at the Institute, and this is, I think, also reflected indirectly in the numbers, is that the very large need for counseling back in the late 70s and early 80s is no longer there. There is a need, we still have one counselor, there is a need, but that need is comparatively speaking minimal. And that's the one thing we've realized. We're at the third and fourth generation of Italian American students. And so for the most part, many of them are coming from families who have at least one generation of college educated. They know what the university life is like in a general sense, as opposed to the 70s and 80s when we were still dealing with first generation college students, in some cases, children still of immigrants and working class. And so the whole idea of the college world, my own experience coming from a working class family where college was not a part of our family, it was an experience to go to college when I did in the 60s. So this is just a nutshell of where we are with Italians, the population of Italians in from Queens, New York City, New York State, and also the USA. The number we got in 2019 from the American Community Survey is 16.6 million. We believe that number fluctuates. There are those who will say that there are many more that we just don't self-identify. Yeah. So I'm happy to take any questions if there are any.
Any questions? Thank you. I'd like to move on with Nicholas Alexiou for Greek Americans.
Let's try to share the screen. Am I disabled? You have to allow me to share. Okay. With the Greeks, it's pretty similar to what Anthony said. After all, it is this famous expression about the Greeks and Italians, the una faccia, una razza, one face and one race. So we have many common many common traits and elements in history. Something is wrong here. It's not coming very well, the sharing. I don't know if you cannot see anything, can you?
At this point, we're looking at your desktop.
Ooh, no good.
Is it a PowerPoint? Can you open up PowerPoint?
Yeah, it is a PowerPoint. And trying to try to share it, but it doesn't allow me at this point.
Do you know the name of the file?
Yeah, Hellenic American Presence, yes.
So if you hit the command button and the space bar, a tab will come up.
Yeah, I see the new share, it says here. Stop share. Paused. Resume share. I don't know what happened, Simone. New share, yeah.
It might be helpful to to stop sharing, find the thing on your own computer, and then go back to sharing.
Okay.
I think what he's looking at isn't what we're looking at. So if you just start sharing again, it'll share the proper screen. Okay. You were seeing through the presentation.
Yes, your screen sharing. But still, there is no.
Try clicking on the PowerPoint at the bottom of the screen.
Yeah, I have the PowerPoint. Hold on a minute. PowerPoint's here.
Okay.
You can see something?
So if you maximize that?
Yes, I have it.
Then you're fine.
So, as I said, the story is pretty similar. The only difference is that the Greeks, unfortunately or fortunately, they immigrated massively twice in the same century. And this is very rare for all European white ethnic groups. And at this time, as the Italians, we also have a tremendous demographic transition for the first time since the 1900s, the first wave of mass immigration. The American-born generations are arithmetically more than the foreign-born Greek Americans. And this is very important to realize it. And this is what we do here at Queens College and the Hellenic American Project, to document this demographic transition, because suggests changes in how we approach the concept of ethnicity, ethnic attachment, community, etc. And in order to secure a continuity, the Greek American community trying to reflect on and respond to this demographic transition. Because most of the organizations and all the other forms of community organization are based on the needs of the immigrant generation, which is no longer relevant to the American born. However, as the Italians, we also have pre-1900 mass immigration arrivals in the States, especially the South, and the New Orleans was the first stable community earlier, and the first consulate established in 1866, the New Smyrna colony, etc. So those are the two waves, primarily the push and pull factors typical to all European groups, economic reasons. The second one was more political, because Greece had a very traumatic period of the Greek military junta between 1967 and 1974, and a lot of young people immigrated to the States and other European countries. The settlement patterns, although the Greeks came from an agricultural society, although they came from a country with very low development in the industrial sector, they prefer to live in urban settings. And one of the reasons is that because along with the Italians having the highest sojourning rates, they return back to Greece very, very often, some of them permanently. They also form enclaves not only to the East Coast, which is the main destination. New York is a demarcation place, but also to the West Coast, working in all kinds of jobs from construction, mining, lumber, industries, etc. Of course, Astoria is the symbol of Greek immigration in the new era. And although Greeks achieved socioeconomic mobility and residential mobility, living out of Astoria, as the Italians did, living in the Ethnic enclaves, the Astoria still remains Greek in the sense that they have managed to maintain property and businesses there. Increasingly, Greek immigrants settled near urban centers, as I said. This is a general map for throughout the decades, the movement. So you see this blue part of Astoria expanding towards the suburbia. Although Greeks can be found in all five boroughs, the borough of Queens still is the place where the majority of the Greeks live. There's no accident that Queens College itself every semester has about 800 students of Greek descent. So the majority of the Greek population still lives in Queens. Recently, it is a small movement towards New Jersey besides Long Island and the New York suburbia. Of course, there are some famous people, not as famous as the Italians, perhaps, but also very famous. Maria Callas, the voice of the 20th century. Johnny Otis, the patriarch of R&B music. Elia Kazan, Mitropoulos in the symphony, the conductor. Papanikolaou and the Pap Test, of course. Even John Cassavetes and Betty White, coming down to Rita Wilson. Recently, her husband, Tom Hanks, became a Greek citizen, and he's very proud of this. I don't know if you have seen his recent business ventures. He just started a souvlaki business. So we're looking for Tom Hanks and his gyro and souvlaki healthy products soon to the East Coast. Some numbers here to see. The Greeks never managed to have the last numbers the Italians have, but you can see that at this moment, the latest census shows about 1.3 almost million Greeks identified as such in the United States. Still, the majority of them in New York. as far as concerning other selected characteristics of the Greek profile, you can see that they are presented in all labor force occupations, the media income, you know, this trend of ownership. The family income is above average. So it is an indication of the socioeconomic mobility of ethnic white or European groups. Of course, as far as education is a very heavy stress at all times since the beginning of mass immigration, since 1900s, very much value to education, and this is very, very evident. Other numbers that are interesting to see here, it is, as I said, the tremendous demographic change, which suggests a serious reorganization of the community, something that it hasn't happened yet. And at this moment, we are in this transitional period that has to be, a serious discussion within the community, incorporation with Greece and the American population to understand where we stand and what is the future of this. What we do here at Queen's College with the establishment of the Hellenic American Project is to document not only the first wave, which is more or less very well studied, but this second wave, which is not established at all. And we managed to have a space at the Queen's Hall where we have the first and only library with books by Greek American authors or scholars. We have we exhibit works by Greek American painters and artists in general. So it is a focus on this second wave, and we do oral histories on the new second and third generation of Greek Americans. And I'm very glad to say that the current administration is very supportive of this, to document that, because there is no other university in the state that focusing on this new generation and understanding the new trends. So this is a general a picture of the Greeks in New York, in the States, and in general. Thank you very much, Barbara.
No, thank you. Thank you for joining us and sharing this information with us. I appreciate it. Now you just have to hit stop share.
Mm-hmm. I did.
Okay, there we are. Okay, thank you. Did we have any questions? Okay, thank you. Seeing none, motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Thank you. All in favor?
Hi.
Okay. Hi. Hi. Yes. Thank you. Thank you, everyone. Enjoy this beautiful day.
Bye. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Bye-bye.
See you next time.
Bye, everybody.
Hey, thank you. Bye-bye.